Welcome to the Hornets Hivecast, presented by Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Here's your host, Rob Longo.
Hi, friends, and welcome to today's edition of the Hornets Hivecast, the official podcast of the Charlotte Hornets, brought to you by Senta, Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Rob Longo with you on a final regular season recap edition of the HHC, and it's a winning edition of the Hornets Hivecast as Charlotte picks up a 120-110 win in Cleveland yesterday afternoon. Second consecutive year that the Hornets have ended the season in Cleveland, and for the second time and as many times, they pick up a win in the final game as well. We'll break this one down for you, and we'll provide our stars of the day, of course, afternoon game yesterday here for the Hornets. And did we get a little bit of a glimpse of the future? We'll talk about that here a little bit later on as well, as the Hornets pick up that 120-110 win and did it with a lot of the reserves. No Davis Bertans, Miles Bridges, Brandon Miller, Nick Richards, or Grant Williams on top of all of the other injuries that the Hornets had on top of the previous ones, the status quo ones that I like to call them here, that were kind of the season enders based off of the time that they happened. But we will break all of these nuances down on this episode of the Hornets Hivecast with the lead writer of Hornets.com, the one and only Sam Prelli. And Sam, thank you for joining me for game number 82 recap wise here on the Hornets Hivecast. It's been a long season, but nobody else I'd rather recap some of these games with you here. And I'm glad we're able to do it on a winning edition to get us both out the door here at the end of this season.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure. And yeah, obviously a tough season for the Hornets, but always good to go out on a win. So plenty of to talk about in this one, which was a very entertaining game, all things considered. So excited to dive into it with you.
And of course, a win to take Steve Clifford out for one final game here as 801st game coach. Of course, he'll be stepping down at the end of season's end, which of course would be today. He'll have some exit interviews here a little bit later on, and I'm sure we'll recap some of that stuff here on Hornets Hivecast episodes later on. But let's go ahead and recap the game yesterday as well. Again, a lot of injuries in this one. A lot of people sitting out with some bumps and bruises for game 82, as let's be honest, the Hornets aren't playing for anything else other than maybe some flattened lottery odds, which weren't really in the play going into this one anyways. Cleveland had something to play for. They had the ability to move all the way up to the 2 seed if things were able to fall their way with a couple of other games. So they sat Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell still, even though they had the ability to move up to 2. And the way the game shook out, things could have gotten better for the Cavs. So a little bit of an interesting twist in that one. But let's just go ahead and look at this one from a whole. Hornets trailed at 33-24 after the first quarter of play. They got back into it. They trailed it by 1 going into the locker room at halftime, 58-57, as they went 6 of 11 from beyond the arc there in the second quarter alone. Hornets had 19 assists on 22 made field goals at halftime. They were doing a really good job sharing the ball. We go to the third frame, and the Hornets found themselves in a little bit of a deeper hole. They were down 8 going into the fourth quarter after Cleveland put up 38 points in that third quarter, shooting 56% from the field. The Hornets shot 63% from the field, but Cleveland got hot from three-point land. They were 6 of 7 beyond the arc in the third quarter alone. George Niang had 16 points through three quarters of play for the Cavs. Four other players already in double figures, but the Hornets were holding strong in their own right as well. JT Thor had a career-high 17 points already through three quarters of play. Bryce McGowan's, Marquise Bolden each had 14. Nick Smith Jr. was in double figures. So was Trey Mann. So both teams doing a really good job shooting the basketball in that game yesterday. Max Strus got a triple-double midway through the fourth quarter, but the Hornets closed the game strong. They outscored the Cavs 32-14 in the final frame. The Hornets closed the game on a 30-7 run in the final 9 minutes and 53 seconds of the contest. Nick Smith Jr., a monster fourth quarter. He finishes with a career high of 24 points, 14 of the 24 coming in that fourth quarter. JT Thor finished with 20 points and 10 rebounds, his first career double-double, as Charlotte plays a little bit of spoiler for the Cavs in the win. Hornets, by the way, 21-61 to finish the season. Fewest wins since the 2012-2013 season, back when the Bobcats finished the year 21-61 as well. The good news, though, the following season, the Bobcats went 43-39 and made the playoffs. That was Steve Clifford's first year in his first stint here as head coach of the Hornets franchise. Bobcats at the time, of course. But going back to present day here, this was an interesting choice by the Cavs to rest some of their guys here, Sam. I know that there were maybe some rumblings or some murmurs that maybe they didn't want the 2 seed because they wanted to avoid a team like Philadelphia or Miami in the first round, but doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me personally, because at some point you have to play some of the best teams in the NBA, and if you're on that side of the bracket as the 2 seed, then you avoid playing a team like, oh, Boston for as long as you possibly can, and you have home court all the way until the Eastern Conference Finals. But I digress. If the Cavs would have ended up playing their starters and ended up winning that game yesterday, then they would have moved into the 3 seed and they would be playing Indiana in the playoffs at the end of next week as they get a couple of days off. But instead, they lose the game last night and they end up being the 4 seed and they end up playing Orlando in the first round. So again, a little bit of a cat and mouse game there. I thought it was interesting that they rested some of their guys. I know that Donovan Mitchell has been in and out of the lineup here towards the end of the season. Darius Garland has had some bumps and bruises as well. So I guess erring on the side of caution is the best thing. But the Hornets went out there and despite not having several starters and playing a lot of the young guys, they end up playing spoiler last night.
Yeah, and one real quick bookkeeping note. Unfortunately, it looks like post-game, they actually pulled a rebound away from JT Thor. So no double-double, but still finishes with a career-high 9 rebounds. But yeah, very interesting game considering what was at stake for Cleveland, and you're kind of keeping an eye on the Orlando-Milwaukee game and the New York-Chicago game. And we saw Cleveland boss Craig Porter Jr., who's a little bit more of a reserve, but looked to really have a painful sprained ankle there in the first quarter, and sometimes that kind of just scares you a little bit. And it felt like Cleveland was really kind of trying to toe the line between giving this the best effort they can and keeping their foot on the gas just enough as long as they could, and then try and hand it off to the very, very end. I don't know if they're looking at matchups, if they're looking at, you know, we want to play Orlando, we want to play Indiana, or, you know, me personally, I wouldn't want to look too far ahead to say, oh, we would get Boston in the second round or this team in the second round, because you got to focus on the first round, especially for a team like Cleveland in this current construction. I don't think they've gotten out of the first round yet. So it is a little bit of, you know, jockeying, I guess you could say, but could be some thought to wanting to avoid the Philadelphia-Miami groups in the 7-8 who are probably better than that seed indicates. But to the Hornets side, ultimately, really impressive performance. You had a lot of guys playing heavy minutes for the first time, didn't play well at all in Boston. The thing that really impressed me the most was the ball movement, especially in that second quarter. The interior scoring and the half-court scoring really just wasn't happening, particularly when Allen and Mobley in the game. Hornets turned on the transition stuff. They kept pushing the pace. They were moving the ball, knocking down open threes. I thought that was really, really got them going there in the second quarter. And it was also kind of what fueled that run there at the end of the fourth, too. So 14 fourth-quarter points is actually the fewest they've given up since December of 2021. So really good finish in this one. I like the way a lot of these guys played, and I love that they took advantage of opportunities that might not have been there earlier in the season. So overall, if you just look at this game in a vacuum, really impressive with some of the guys and the way they were able to finish what was a tough season on a positive note, and especially sending Steve Clifford out with a victory as well, I thought was really cool.
Well, first off, thank you for the note on JT Thor. Now that I'm looking at the box score, feel like I'm going to have to go to Cleveland and give a piece of my mind to some of the stat keepers there. Again, I don't know how that all that works at the end of the game, but yeah, JT did have officially a double-double when we were signing off the air on Hornets Radio Network, and now they changed it. So he finishes with 20 points and 9 rebounds. A little bit disappointing considering that would have been his first career double-double. Max Strus, by the way, I mentioned that triple-double, his first career triple-double. Maybe they should take a rebound away from him. I don't know, but I digress. At any rate, Hornets won it 120-110 in the land last night. Just to give you an idea of all of the players that were out in this one, for the Hornets, the starting five was Vasilij Micic, Trey Mann, JT Thor, Bryce McGowan, and Marquise Bolden. And Vasilij Micic ended up only playing 9 games in the contest. Alexei Pokuševski came off the bench. He played 19 minutes. So like Sam mentioned, there were a lot of guys playing some heavy minutes. JT Thor was one of them. He finished with 41 minutes. That was by far the game high. Bryce McGowan, Marquise Bolden each played 30. Trey Mann played 24. Nick Smith Jr., 33 minutes off the bench. Leaky Black, 22 minutes. Or 32 minutes, I should say, off the bench. Amari Bailey had 22 minutes off the bench, and all of those guys had some really good performances. Basically, career highs across the board for minutes, points, rebounds, basically anything you can think of because they had so much more time out there on the floor in a 120-110 win in Game 82 yesterday afternoon in Cleveland. That sets the stage for a lot of stars of the afternoon. We're going to pick our personal favorites next here on the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta. Rob Longo and Sam Perley with a winning edition of the Hornets Hivecast, the final game recap edition of the Hornets Hivecast this season. It's funny how time flies by. I feel like yesterday we were in October getting ready for the season to start, and here we are in the middle of April as the season comes to a close. Hornets winners 120-110 in Cleveland last night, led by Nick Smith Jr., the rookie out of Arkansas, a career-high 24 points, a game-high 24 points as well. JT Thor also reaching a 20-point plateau with 20 of his own. Bryce McGowan's had 18 points. points in a starting role. Marquise Bolden had 14 points. That's a career high. Trey Mann had 11 points. Leaky Black, Amari Bailey each had 11 coming off the bench. A lot to like in this one yesterday from an individual standpoint, of course, as well as a team standpoint, like we touched on in the previous segment, Sam. One of those things that I forgot to mention. 36 total assists off 46 made buckets. That's a pretty good job sharing a basketball. But all things considered, who is your top performer from yesterday's game number 82?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Nick Smith Jr. I thought he was really, really good. Obviously, you know, indicative of his, you know, his final line, career high 24 points after scoring 15 in Boston the other night as one of kind of the main offensive bright spots in that game. Also had a career high 6 of 11 from 3-point range. 6 rebounds, 3 assists, played about 32 and a half minutes, and was 9 of 20 overall. 14 points in the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken. So really, really turned on the scoring there, you know, moving back in transition. Did a good job of not settling for shots, you know, got open, was moving without the ball, and was really big at, you know, had the rebounds. And I thought he was a big part of kind of getting those live ball rebounds and pushing the pace, not only in the fourth quarter, but also the second quarter there. So that's exactly the kind of game you want to see from somebody like Nick Smith that, you know, really hasn't been in the rotation a lot the last several weeks. But to end his rookie season, which was a little up and down, with a really good game in Boston and a really, really good game in Cleveland, is certainly the kind of finish you want to see for somebody in his position.
Amari Bailey to Nick Smith Jr. Wing three. Yes, sir! Nick Smith Jr., a 14-point quarter. He's made 6 threes, and Charlotte leads it 120 to 110.
And probably the dagger right there is the Hornets got that big bucket late from Nick Smith Jr., but he was fantastic in yesterday's game. He would have been my top performer if you didn't take him, so I'm glad you did. Nick Smith Jr., the rookie out of Arkansas, having a career day yesterday in Cleveland. Very similar to Bryce McGowan's last year a little bit when you come to think about it, because Bryce had a career day in Cleveland in the final game of the season last year as well. So another Hornets rookie having a very big game 82. After the game, Nick Smith Jr. said that, well, I'll just let him tell you, he was very excited to pick up the win.
Man, I ain't gonna lie, I'm happy as hell, because on the simple fact that, you know, I just get to play more. And yeah, man, I mean, we came out, we play hard, you know, even though it was the last game. People say we're not playing for anything, but, you know, we're NBA players, so, you know, we're gonna go out and, you know, play hard every day, and coach wanted us to go out there and play hard, so we had to do that.
Definitely been an interesting up and down season for Nick Smith Jr. I think there were a lot of high aspirations for him personally to have a lot of playing time this year. Just didn't work out that way. Went to the G League, got a lot of run in the Greensboro team, and was able to get some minutes in there. But the fact that he's able to have a shining moment here at the end of the season, really good to see, and definitely sets up a very big summer for him, because again, there's got to be a lot of decisions made about the roster, and Nick Smith Jr. could be one of the benefactors of that, having more playing time going into next season as well. But for me, in terms of my top performer from last night's game, I'm gonna go with the guy that had another career day. That's JT Thor.
Answering attempt from the wing. Yes, sir. JT Thor, yet another Lowe's drilling three-point shot, and it's a career day for JT Thor. Thor with a new career high 15 points.
He was able to finish with 20 in the game yesterday. He goes 8 of 11 from the field, 3 for 6 beyond the arc, 1 for 2 at the free throw line. Did have that rebound get taken away from him. Has 9 officially now in the box score. 4 assists, 3 blocks, 2 steals. I mean, he literally did everything in that game yesterday. He was anywhere and everywhere. He finishes as a plus 11 in the plus minus, which is not the best for any Hornet. That would be Leaky Black. He was a plus 22 in the plus minus. Amari Bailey was also a plus 17 in the plus minus as well. But JT Thor, a very big game. Career high in minutes, too, I'm sure, with those 41 without looking it up, just based off of what we've seen from him over the last couple of seasons. I thought he was excellent in a game last night that everybody got an opportunity to play. I know that was kind of the rallying cry going into the Boston game, and that's what Steve Clifford mentioned. Obviously, Vasa Micic didn't play a whole lot of minutes. Poku didn't play a whole lot either. So, I mean, that really shrinks the bench, and that gives a lot of opportunity here for these younger guys, and they were able to ball out and do so in a pretty important way, picking up that 120 to 110 win. A couple of other cap tips. Bryce McGowan's 18 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. I thought Marquise Bolden played an excellent game, especially defensively. He had 4 blocks there and a steal. Had a really big block at the end of the third quarter, which I thought kind of set the tone going into the fourth frame, because the Hornets were able to get out in transition and run and get a lot of points off of turnovers on fast break points. They end up scoring 17 fast break points in the game. They end up turning Cleveland over 14 13 times. It resulted in 19 Hornets points because of those turnovers. But Marquise Bolden, I thought, did a really good job on that back line, doing a good job playing defense without fouling. Only had one personal foul, and he didn't have a whole lot of goaltending. I don't even think he had a goaltending violation either. So he just played perfect backline defense. I don't know, Sam, is it too late to change my top performer from last night's game? Because I'm talking myself into Marquise Bolden now that I mention it.
I think there were a lot of guys to highlight in this one, and that's exactly what you wanted to see. You know, there was kind of the, you know, the sentiment after the game is, you know, there wasn't anything to play for. But from a playoff positioning and a standings positioning, certainly that's the case. But this is exactly what you want to see from the guys that really played heavy minutes in this one. This is what you wanted to see. Like, you know, Nick Smith said, they're NBA players. This is a lot of them been waiting for this kind of opportunity. Go out there, compete, do what you do, get some stuff on tape. Use this for momentum, motivation, confidence, whatever you need to do to kind of use this performance in a positive construction manner, I think is really good. And yeah, I was impressed with Marquise Bolden as well. A lot of lefty hooks too, something you don't really see in the NBA too often, but good little paint game and back to the basket stuff. And to circle back on JT Thor, yes, absolutely a career high minutes for him. His previous was about 36-25. So blew right past that and was 8 of 11 shooting, very efficient. So top to bottom, I think you got contributions from everybody. And again, good way to end the season with everybody kind of chipping in to end this one on a positive note.
And again, keep in mind, too, Marquise was doing this out there while the Twin Towers for Cleveland were out there as well. Jared Allen played 23 minutes. Evan Mobley played 25 minutes as well. So he was going up against some pretty stiff competition. He was able to hold his own, more of a throwback big. Marquise Bolden did attempt a three-point shot. It did not go well. He obviously did make it, but again, ends up being 7-9 around a rim, inside the arc, whatever you want to call it, in the game last night. Hornets win at 120-110. So again, we saw a lot of good from a lot of young players, and maybe did we see a little bit of a glimpse of the future for the Hornets? We'll talk about that next here as we wrap up this edition of the Hornets Hivecast.
This last 25-30 games where, you know, we're out of it. We had a very difficult schedule, and that's what I told them in the locker room. I'm really proud of all of them, the way they hung in there, the attitude they had. We kept getting better. They practiced well, and we played some good games.
That's head coach Steve Clifford evaluating his team after a 120-110 win in Cleveland yesterday afternoon, finishing the season 21-61 on the campaign, his final game as head coach of the Charlotte Hornets. Rob Longo, and lead writer of Hornets.com, Sam Perley with you, putting a button on this episode of the Hornets Hivecast. Quite frankly, putting a button on the season as well. I'm sure we'll have some season recap episodes coming up here in the next couple of days here on the Hornets Hivecast, but recapping game 82 here. I believe this is officially episode 180 of the season, so the grind kind of coming to the end a little bit here, but not going to go quite every day on the Hornets Hivecast in the offseason because we're not that crazy, but we will have a couple of days off in between here and there. We'll have some player interviews, and you'll hear from some of those guys, and of course, we got a coach's search that we have to cover as well, so plenty to come here this offseason on the Hornets Hivecast. But as we take one final segment here on these game recap episodes of the HHC, wanted to just kind of generalize here and take a look at, obviously, there's got to be a lot of questions and there's got to be a lot of decisions made on players on this roster, because if we're being honest, in the NBA, basically a third of the roster is turning over from a year-by-year basis, so some decisions have to be made by new GM Jeff Peterson, but we saw a glimpse of what potentially the future could be here for the Hornets. Of course, all of the rookies having some pretty stellar games last night, maybe outside of Vasa Micic, only because he played 9 minutes, and technically he's a rookie, but at the same time, he's really not since he's 30 years old. But guys like Marquise Bolden, who has played a couple of games in the NBA, not quite a rookie, but signed that two-way contract, there'll have to be some decisions made there. Of course, Leaky Black is on a two-way deal, and so is Amari Bailey, and those guys were able to ball out with some 11 points off the bench and playing some heavy minutes as well. Bryce McGowan's a second-year guy, played a lot of minutes in the contest yesterday, and we've touched on Trey Mann and his future with the Hornets here in a couple of other podcasts as well. Nick Smith Jr., a rookie that seemed like he shone really brightly there, 6 of 11 from beyond the arc in the game yesterday with those 24 points, a career high, a game high as well. So the future seems very, very bright in Charlotte. I know we obviously have had a lot of glimpses of that this season with the number 2 overall pick in Brandon Miller, but these are some other guys that, one, you have to decide what's going to happen with them moving forward with the two-way deals and maybe converting them to NBA contracts and all that stuff. don't want to speculate because there's a lot of decisions to be made, and that will take a lot of time here in the offseason, of course. But we saw glimpses of some young potential talent here in that game yesterday against Cleveland. And I know that the Cavs didn't play all of their heavy hitters in that game yesterday, but you still have guys that saw the floor out there for the Cavs that are going to be in the rotation and be starting in a playoff series here next weekend, with guys like Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, Max Strus is going to come off the bench. Isaac Okoro could potentially start for them. George Niang, Marcus Morris Sr., all of those guys have the potential to play in a playoff series this upcoming weekend against the Orlando Magic. So it's not like they were playing against, obviously, Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland and those kind of guys, but they were still playing some pretty stiff competition, and they ended up pulling out the win.
If Cleveland didn't have maybe some seeding at stake, and you know the Orlando-Milwaukee game didn't kind of transpire the way it was, and I would love to know sort of the process of how information from other games is relayed to coaches or things like that. I think that would be really interesting, because it has to play into the rotations and things like that. So it's a good way to end the season, and I think you saw the potential of a lot of guys and what they can do when given the opportunity. But so much of this league, and Steve Clifford has said this a lot, and so much of the NBA is, okay, going out and scoring 14 points, can you do it the next game? Can you do it the next game? Can you do it the next game after that? And not having, you know, a 14-point game, a 2-point game, a 6-point game, a 25-point game. It's about kind of making it consistent. So, again, it is a very, very small sample size. And, you know, if you want to take the last handful of games, too, when more guys were getting into the rotation, that's, you can also use that. But this is good stuff for the summer. You look at it. You look what you can do. If it gives you confidence, it gives new front office, coaching staff, whatever it is, something to kind of look at to make them think. And, you know, if this is the difference between getting an invite to Summer League or another team sees it Summer League, and then you play well there. I mean, it's all about kind of staying consistent and, you know, making teams think about you, I guess, is one way to do it, whether it's the Hornets, whether it's another team too. So you'd rather obviously end the season this way with guys playing well and going out on a high note than the opposite. So and just overall, these last couple weeks, and Steve Clifford said this after the game, I mean, this is not at all how I thought or we thought the season was going to go, or certainly wanted it to go. But you look at just about every game, and I would say of the last like 30 maybe since the trade deadline, you could probably count on one hand a couple games that the Hornets just didn't have the energy or effort in there. But you felt like they were competing in just about every single game up until maybe when, you know, the rotation and the, you know, health and talent stuff kind of really factored in at the end against some really, really good caliber teams. You know, they had a few comeback wins, and they held their own down the stretch. So I know it's a little bit of a mass silver lining there, but given the circumstances, this is a good finish to the season for the Hornets. And I think there are, you saw some glimpses here in this Cleveland game of the potential of what they have on the roster. Now it's about kind of sorting through all of it, making the right decisions moving forward, and hopefully getting healthy and taking that next step next season.
There's a lot of decisions that have to be made, but they're going to be tough ones, and that's what you want. You want to have those tough decisions, because that means you got a lot of young potential talent there on the roster as well. And before we go here on this episode of the Hornets Hivecast, wanted to give one more cap tip to head coach Steve Clifford, his final game of his coaching career here in the Queen City with Charlotte. It goes out a winner. And here's a quote that Leaky Black had with Sam Farber after the game. And I think this just kind of speaks volumes to the kind of guy that Steve Clifford is.
It means everything, man. You know, I'm not a man of many words, but Coach Cliff, man, I honestly, man, I think about him a lot, bro. He's really like one of my favorite coaches I've ever played for. It's not even that we talk a lot, you know, it's just the way he approaches the game and the way he approaches his, you know, his task every single day, man. He really cares about his craft. So that's just something I really value and I really appreciate. And I try to do the best I can to make sure he goes out smiling. So
I think that quote just carries and summarizes Steve Clifford in such a great way for a guy like Leaky Black, who is a rookie who didn't spend a whole lot of time in Charlotte this season, spent a lot of it in Greensboro with the Swarm, and working his way up to this NBA roster on the final couple of days, playing for guys like in his collegiate career, like Hubert Davis, and going to a blue blood like North Carolina. And he's saying that Steve Clifford's one of the best coaches that he's ever been with. I think that just kind of speaks volumes to the kind of guy that Coach Cliff is. And I know he'll be around. I know he'll be hanging out and working it with the front office and Jeff Peterson and doing a couple of different things there in that role. But going to miss seeing him every day, going to miss hearing from him every day after post game or pregame or practices or anything like that, because every time that he talked, I just learned something new about the game of basketball. I'm sure you can share the same sentiment, Sam, but wanted to play that clip one final time to send out Steve Clifford, who was able to ride off into the sunset yesterday, picking up that W in Cleveland, thanks to guys like Leaky Black.
Yeah, absolutely. He's one of the most brilliant, if not the most brilliant basketball minds I've ever been around. And like you, I always feel like I come out of those availabilities, whether it's pregame, postgame, or practice availability, like I've learned something new. And sometimes I'll go in after the games and think that the reason the Hornets won or lost was one of these things or one of these reasons. And I'm completely way, way off. And it's something that I hadn't even noticed. And it's amazing the way he's able to dissect games and recall certain moments. And he's super excited for this next chapter, whether in the front office and in whatever capacity it ends up being. And I'm really happy that he's excited about that. You know, obviously I wish these last 2 years had gone better from a, you know, health and luck standpoint. And that's a tough thing to, you know, he never really got kind of that full chance or opportunity because, you know, the team just was dealing with so many injuries and absences. But the way the team responded down the stretch, like Leaky Black said, these last 20 or 30 games, a lot of that was because of coaching. And they kept pushing, they kept grinding, they kept practicing hard, having a good attitude, hanging in there. And a lot of that is reflective on the way, you know, Steve Clifford carried himself every day and the energy and attention to detail and basketball IQ and smarts that he brought every single day. And you could even feel it down these last final few games, even when, you know, Cliff was talking about he'd already made the decision that he was going to step down to the end of the season. He would never, ever let himself get ahead and talk about what was next or, you know, how he's feeling or the last home game or the last game. So he never, ever once let up. So I really respect that. And there's a lot of stuff that I have learned from being around Steve Clifford, both in his first tenure and in the second one, that I really, really admire. And I'm excited that he's going to be a part of the organization moving forward. And just a great guy, great basketball mind, and a better guy off the court too. So I'm glad they could finish it with a win for him, and looking forward to see what's next for him.
Very well said. Couldn't have said it any better myself. Sad to see Cliff not be around every day, but excited to keep him on and see him. Super excited to see what the future holds, because again, even though the day ended in a win yesterday, work starts now here for the 2024-2025 season. A lot of decisions have to be made on the roster. A new coach will be coming in. A new lottery pick will be in here as well. A lot going on this offseason. And of course, we'll have you covered every step of the way here on the Hornets Hivecast. And from a majority of these road post-game recaps, keeping us posted and keeping us abreast of situations, the one and only lead writer of Hornets.com, Sam Perley, wrapping up this edition of the Hornets Hivecast. Sam, thank you all season long. I know you won't be too far away. We'll talk to you in the off season, and looking forward to the 2024-2025 season with you already here after this edition of the Hornets Hivecast.
Appreciate you for having me. Thank you so much. And thank you to all our listeners, supporters, fans, everybody that tuned in for all these previews and features. I think I speak on behalf of all of us that, you know, we're excited about the future of this team. It's been awesome to follow it and cover it, even if we had more silver linings additions than we wanted, but brighter days to come, hopefully in the future.
Brighter days to come for sure here in the Queen City. Big thank you to Sam for joining me on this episode of the Hornets Hivecast. Big thank you to all of you for listening all season long here on the HHC. Of course, we'll take a couple of days off, but we'll have more content for you here on the Hornets Hivecast throughout the whole offseason. So for Sam Perley, I'm Rob Longo saying so long. We'll talk to you in a couple of days once again here on the Hornets Hivecast.
Thank you for listening to the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. For more coverage, visit Hornets.com.